Hi, and welcome to the Health Service Division podcast series. I'm Blake Gilman, the Vice President of Post-Acute Care Services for Life Care Services. I'm here today with special guests from the Market Research Department, and I'll take a few minutes and go around the room to introduce themselves. Dale, if you want to start, that'd be great.
Hi, Blake. My name is Dale Engelkin. I'm the Director of Market Research and Analytics.
And you've got Jonna Wisniewski, the newest member to the Market Research team. So I'm a Senior Market Research Analyst.
Hi, everyone. This is Lindsay Olson. I am an analyst in the Market Research Department.
Welcome, everyone. And the purpose of the meeting today is to really just have an open conversation about what you guys do in the health, in the Market Research Department to assist the Health Services Division and what we're doing. So let me just fire off a few questions and see if we can't answer those questions as we go along. We appreciate you guys joining us for this podcast series today. So the first question is, how does the Market Research Department assist the communities with understanding their position in the market?
I'll take that first question. Really, what we find that we are helping communities with is really knowing your metrics and where you stand with your competitors, as well as how your performance, how you can help the hospitals in your area related to the problems that they're having and the pain points with taking care of patients.
So, Lindsay, when you say pain points, what do you mean by that?
High readmission rates or long lengths of stay, even, you know, going so far as looking at what the impacts of penalties are coming from CMS.
Okay.
So when we talk about pain points, we're just looking for areas where a SNF could go in and really identify areas where they could best partner and help that hospital.
Awesome. Well, you know, what you guys do is a valuable resource out in the marketplace, because one of the important things to understand is where you stand in relation to everyone else. So let's talk a little bit about that and how, with what you're doing in that department, it helps them really understand their place in comparison to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, their position with what might be their post-acute network and what that means to them. Are they getting all the admissions? Are they not getting them? Do they have a home health partner? Are they in a bundled payment system? Whatever the case might be. Do you have any comments about that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why this data is so valuable, because without it, you are just guessing. I mean, you are just guessing as to what's going on in the marketplace, where this data is actually telling you what's going on.
So what platform are we using?
We are looking at Avalere data, and it is the database of Medicare Part A claims as well as Part B as it pertains to home health.
Okay. And I think about 3 years ago, we actually contracted with Avalere to get that data. And I know it's changed over time. They used to be a year behind, maybe even as much as 16 or 18 months behind with the data. I think that's changed recently. We have a lot more current data that we're using. So that's helping the community. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, how often do these reports need to be looked at? Should a community order one and done? Should they order, you know, different versions of it each year? Should they target maybe different hospitals every year? How do they use that data on an ongoing basis? Because I don't think it's one and done, because the data is changing every quarter. Mm-hmm. So would you guys agree with that and open to any comments you might have?
I do agree with that, Blake. You know, hospitals are changing, you know, every day, every month. New trends are happening, and you know, we feel that we don't feel you need to get more than one a year. However, you know, over time, your hospitals are going to change what they're doing. New factors come into play, like they may get bought out by a larger system, or they may just have a new strategic direction. CMS plays a major role in what the hospitals are doing. And so to keep relevant and to keep on top of the metrics and the trends and what's happening within that hospital, we really recommend, you know, having that report done on a fairly regular basis, anywhere from 1 year to, would you say, 2 to 3?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, Dale, you're doing a lot of work kind of on the upfront side when we're looking at, managing new communities or we're going into new markets with a new build, that type of thing. You know, we're talking about this Avalere report being relevant to communities that exist currently, and we've done a lot of work with Lindsay and John and Dale's group on getting those out to the communities. But how can we leverage that same data on that pre-market assessment, we'll call it? I don't know if there's an exact term that you guys use, but can we leverage it in advance of a market as opposed to in the rear?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we do that pre-market analysis, a lot of times we're looking at different product types. Sometimes it's just simply independent living. Sometimes it does get more into the healthcare component of it. And so when we're looking at that, we like to understand what's going on in the marketplace, especially when we're looking at buying a portfolio of product or of communities. It's very important to understand what we're getting into.
So if they use it in advance, it kind of, and one of the cool things about that report is it gives them the patient flow. You know, where are those patients living? Where are they going for post-acute care services? Sometimes, in some cases, when you've done those reports, I think there were some surprises that people were going places that we didn't know they were going because our assumption was we were getting everyone. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Exactly. Or a lot of times people will be surprised if they see a community they thought was only doing Medicaid. And then they see that they have more Medicare patients going to that facility than theirs.
Yeah, frankly, I mean, there's a lot of data in these reports. One of the first things, though, I looked out for is that map that we create and show where the patient's flowing. So that in itself basically helps us understand market share, helps us understand exactly how our community sits and all that. Sometimes we're a decent player in there. Sometimes it's very minor. So that in itself is very valuable to me.
So how do the communities within LCS, we have all different sizes and shapes. We have communities that have 30-bed skilled nursing facility components. We have ones that have over 200 beds. So how do we use your department to remain relevant in the markets? Because sometimes they're, at least the smaller communities get discounted because they're not big enough or they don't take this or they don't take that. Staying relevant is very important because otherwise you just get carved out. So any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that gets back to, you know, finding the pain points in the hospital and understanding how your performance relates to your competitors in the marketplace. And that's where you find opportunities. You know, maybe that's specializing on specific diagnoses, but using that data to really inform your strategy is very valuable.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that we can get specific into what should be our strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we identify, you know, in the report we look a lot at, you know, what diagnoses there are and how those diagnoses are flowing within the marketplaces. And I think a lot of times our communities tend to get into just this, well, this is how we've always done business, and the market outside of them is changing. So can they use that to become a more prominent player, we'll say, in the market by potentially changing their programming over time to be in alignment with what's happening in the markets?
I mean, we did just have a really good review meeting last week with one of our communities, and it was surprising to them what the data revealed. So we had all of the players on the call, which is really important as well. So not just the ED, but the administrator and the director of nursing and their DOM and their marketing person. So they were able to identify some strengths that they would be able to go out and communicate. And then they went straight out and reached out to their therapy partner so that they could start talking about how they could really beef up that particular area of the services that they provide.
So were they shocked by the results? Not maybe shocked is a harsh word, but were they surprised?
They knew things were changing, but they didn't think it had changed that much that quickly.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens a lot.
It does.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, the world moves along without us. So, Dale, maybe this question's for you. How important is research in a small to medium market? I know it's important in those big markets that have We have communities in markets that have 20 hospitals, right? Mm-hmm. We have communities in markets that have one. So how important is it in those smaller markets even?
Yeah, of course, this may sound a little bit biased because I'm a researcher here, but I think it's very important. I think a lot of people have assumptions. They think they know what's going on. In reality, there's something that could be totally different. You know, data is something that doesn't really lie to you, I guess. So I think it's very, very important that they understand on a black and white basis what's going on in these small markets, as well as large markets for that matter.
Hey, you know, my take on that is there's data, then there's metrics, and then there's KPIs that go kind of in that sequence, right?
Yes.
And so if you have the data, that's one thing, but if you don't do anything with it, then what's the point of having it at all, mm-hmm. Other than the fact that we can claim that we have a ton of data? But
yes.
You have to be able to put it to use. So in your opinion, how would they leverage it so it becomes a KPI rather than just data? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So here's another example of a community who we did a report for. They were in a smaller market and were really struggling with some real past performance issues. So they had kind of gotten a reputation in the marketplace as being a poor performer. So what we were able to do, though, in pulling their most recent data was identify some areas where they were really excelling so that they could go out into their community and start turning their reputation around.
Yeah, I mean, does it have any relevance in our rental division? We're talking about SNF reporting here, but would this same report have any relevance for rental that doesn't have any SNF to understand the patient flow in their market?
Absolutely. Understanding who those skilled nursing facilities are, the quality ones, and who has the most volume in order to create a post-acute strategy within your assisted living and memory care is a major advantage.
Any thoughts on how the Navigator fits into this? We're rolling out this new Navigator program, understanding that we're providing people with a case manager of sorts that can manage their healthcare. To me, it goes beyond post-acute because sometimes the word post-acute gets a little scary for people because they think it's high acuity, you know, something that is not for everybody. If we kind of par that back a little bit and use the term healthcare, mm-hmm. you know, does that seem less threatening? And does a community like a rental community provide healthcare? And do these types of reports, whether it's Avalere or some other report format that you guys generate out of your department, you know, how can we leverage those to stay current and relevant in the market? Any thoughts?
Yeah, but the first part of that really is, do we create reports? And I know, Lindsay, you do a pretty good job with helping with scorecards with the rental side of that business, right? You want to explain that a little bit?
So we've started doing reports for a lot of our rental communities to help them develop their post-acute strategy. And what those entail are, you know, maps of where, you know, patient flows, where people are going, as well as volumes, hospital discharge volumes to skilled nursing facilities, as well as a component of the quality and outcomes in order for the SNFs to see who's out there, who they want to find out, who they want to partner with, and give them the enough information to start having those discussions with different entities.
So how important is a preferred provider relationship?
The utmost of importance.
Because why? Why would you say that?
If you're not a preferred provider in these days, then you are not going to get patients.
Yeah, and the networks are narrowing down. It's becoming more and more difficult to become a preferred provider. And if you are one, to keep that status mm-hmm. is very important, because if you lose it, getting it back is very difficult.
Yes. So being a preferred provider is absolutely important, right? I mean, if you can't play the game, then you're essentially out.
And how important is being in? You know, it's one thing to be out, right? Because that's never going to be fun. Mm-hmm. But being in a lot of different ways, being in means a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jonna.
You need to be on that list because these discharge planners at hospitals are extremely busy. They're trying to shuffle a lot of people, you know, out the door. So being on that preferred provider list just gets you in the game. I mean, they're going to go down their list and decide where they're going to send folks. So if you're not there, you're not going to be getting anyone.
Okay, so let's set the Avalere report aside for a minute. Let's talk about some other things that you can offer in your department, you know, outside of the Avalere report that can help communities. We know you do this pre-assessment of markets and so forth. We talked about that a few minutes ago. But what do you have in your toolbox outside of those Avalere reports that can also be helpful to the communities?
Actually, we have a new solution. A resident or a patient satisfaction survey. The market research team, about a year and a half ago, we went out and met with a ton of different research providers to find, you know, the best satisfaction study and methodology that we could. Dale, how many companies did we interview in and look at?
I believe there's about a total of five or so. We shortlisted it fairly quickly to buy about two or three of them, and we ended up with Pinnacle, right? So Pinnacle is also something you're very familiar with, Blake. You've used them in the past, and you gave us some insight on thinking they might be a good provider, and you could probably explain a little bit better than I, Lindsay, why we chose them.
We chose them because for a couple of reasons. One being the output or the results are fantastic. They have trended data, and I mean, they're just a great report.
And it's a mix of quantitative and qualitative,
yes,
which is nice.
And that's the second piece, is the methodology that they use is over the phone. And because it's over the phone, they capture, you know, that verbatim response. And so you're getting a really deep understanding of what these people are saying. But then they are scoring them on those, you know, standard CMS five questions. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that every skilled nursing facility will have to have data for. And so they're using those standard metrics, and we get that, you know, 5-point scale. How would you rate it? And so it's that quant and qual piece along with just an excellent report is why we picked them.
And it's good value, too. You know, just to be clear, you know, this is for people who are being discharged, right? So we're going to do this on an ongoing basis. Reporting is done monthly. And for each one of these completed interviews, it's $30. And as Lindsay said, it's over the phone. And as researchers, we know that's a really good value. I mean, it may sound like a lot, but in essence, $30 to get that kind of research and that kind of reporting is very good.
And it's quick and timely. So if there are any problems with patients who've been discharged, we may be able to pick that up in that phone interview and identify problems right away before they grow into something that's not manageable anymore and go out and troubleshoot.
Yeah. And and one kind of added bonus that they have with it is if they pick up on something on that call where it in the respondent indicates that there's a problem transitioning to home or they're, you know, not feeling well or not doing well, an alert email goes out to the leaders of that community so they can call and check on that patient to make sure they're okay.
So are you surveying, is Pinnacle surveying all discharges from all LCS communities or just SNFs?
It is just SNFs that we're using them for.
Okay.
We're not currently rolling it out. It hasn't been rolled out to everyone. We only have a few communities right now that are participating in it.
And they would opt in, but anyone could opt in if they wanted to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent. What other tools do you have?
You know,
so that would be a tool for ongoing research of discharges from the SNF. We also have another methodology. So we do ongoing satisfaction research with our IL communities, AL communities, and memory care. And we could also do a point in time study, satisfaction study with a SNF. So they're similar, but different in that this methodology is for just one point in time. And the other project we were talking about was for ongoing discharge research.
Okay, because one of the things that's important as we start to work more with health plans, we're currently working on getting some national contracts for LCS for health plans, as opposed to going community by community, site by site, you know, a 30-bed or 50-bed skilled nursing facility that's 98% occupied may not even be attractive to a Cigna, Aetna, Blue Cross type provider. But if we take 30 or 35,000 lives to the table, we get somebody's attention. And so we're currently working on that. And I can see where these discharge satisfaction surveys will lend themselves to additional data that we can take in to say, you know, 90% or 95% of our discharge residents are satisfied with the service they got. And that speaks volumes.
I would agree. And one thing I want to really point out here right now, probably is a good time to do it, is with our department, we're always trying to innovate. We're always trying to think of new ways to measure, to new ways to help people. And, you know, one example, for example, is where you're starting to use tablets to gather data. We can do face-to-face interviews using those tablets, or we can even do focus groups, or we can do a combination of any methodology. So if you're hearing out there that there's some kind of novel way and you're wondering, hey, can LCS market research help you? We'll definitely look into it, and we'll try our best to help with that methodology. Or if we can't, we'll point you to a direction. Maybe another provider can help even more than we can.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you being guests on the program today. We appreciate the opportunity to have you here for an interview. Certainly, you know, Dale, your leadership in the market research department with Jonna and Lindsay has been outstanding, and particularly developing the Avalere reports the way they were. I remember back to when we first started this process, and we were kind of cutting and pasting, you know, some graphs and charts, and that was really our kickoff to get started to where we are now. And over the last, I don't know, 2.5 years or so, 2 years, however long we've been doing it, it has evolved into a real valuable tool. And I think you guys are finding it, at least in the field, we're hearing good feedback that those communities that use the market research, whether it be Avalere or some other things that you guys are providing that you mentioned, it's valuable information that they will need to be part of a preferred provider network of some kind at some time.
I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, that's mostly Lindsay Olson's efforts for all that modification, and she's improving it constantly. And another thing to point out here is the reality is that we will modify those with time too. What you see right now isn't necessarily what you'll get in a year or two or three. So if you're not seeing what you need, we'll try to modify and help meet your needs.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And it also speaks to the pricing, you know, as it's modified. You know, the pricing structure changes as well, depending on what you request. So, you know, if you're a community that is on a low budget, you should get it and maybe get a slimmed down version. If you're a community that has more to spend on this type of research, then, you know, go for the gusto and, you know, get a big report. But either way, you know, our encouragement out to the field is get the report and use it. As you move from just understanding data all the way down to KPIs, and how can you put a stake in the sand to say, here's where we are today, but a year from now, this is where we want to be, and can we benchmark ourselves against where we have been and show improvement, not only to, you know, the leadership of the community itself, but to the preferred partner networks that we're trying to be part of. So, you know, we appreciate all that you guys are doing. Thank you so much again for being part of the group. This is Blake Gilman, and this is the Health Service Division podcast series. Thanks.
Legal disclaimer. LifeCare Services LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast. Thank you.